economic development from today. I've got another secretary tomorrow. I've got a corner today. I've got a corner. So at least we are not left abandoned. Yes, yes, we do have the necessary support. But COLISA is still away with the disability information. Our agenda is just one item. Yeah, let's hope that's what
but I'm not sure we can do that because it's under government. But apparently we were run about 234 people that
applied. We are dealing with the budget report, the review report, and the recommendation report. I think we have been mandated by the committee to refine the documents. We have tried our best, and we are happy to report to the committee that at least an extensive work has been done, and we have consulted with the department throughout the night. But I think 98% of the report is done properly, except the 2% that we think if the committee allows us, we can finalize it this afternoon. They won't leave Parliament without finalizing this report. Because the department promised that they are going to give us the information, the latest and previous, the remaining information. The apologies, I think we do have apologies from Honorable Stein, Honorable Mashishi, so far. And no, Honorable Board. Those are the only apologies that we have received. I think we are going to follow the sequence that we followed yesterday. The researcher is going to wait for us and lead us through, and then where I have to intervene, I will intervene. As you can see that we have refined those areas in the way we said to each other.
Introduction to the French. In 2009, the President has initiated to the Moneyball Commission Procedures and Related Matters Act of 2009. It came into effect on the 16th of April 2009. The aim is to provide for a procedure to amend Moneyball before Parliament and related matters. In broad terms, the Act provides the procedure for Parliament to amend the budget, which includes the annual revision of revenue law. Although the bill is not classified as a money bill in terms of the Constitution, the annual appropriation bill and the adjustment appropriation bill. Provision is also made for the procedure to amend other bills. In light of the need to speed up progress on South African's developmental challenges, government is shifting to target outcomes to improve service delivery and increase accountability. The presidency announced the adoption of 12 measurable outcomes, which will become the focus of policy and implementation. These objectives with associated and defined targets should be reached by 2014, of which outcome 8 speaks directly to the human settlement target. The Department of Human Settlements, formerly known as the Department of Housing, and this change came about during the reconfiguration of certain departments by the new cabinet. In addition, the sanitation function, which used to be under the then Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, was transferred to the Department of Human Settlements. During 2019, the South African economy was in recession for the first time in 17 years. While a recovery was felt in the third quarter of 2009, many South Africans still feel the difficulties arising from the recession. Subsequently, the residential property market recorded a poor performance for the greater part of 2019. 1.1, the role and the mandate of the committee. Consideration of legislation referred to it, initiation and amendment of legislation, exercising oversight over the Department of Human Settlements, entities and implementing agents, consideration of international agreements referred to it, consideration of the budget vote and annual report of the Department of Human Settlements, entities and implementing agents, facilitating public participation in its processes, facilitating appointments to statutory bodies, consideration of all matters referred to it in terms of the legislation, the rules of Parliament or resolutions of the House, undertaking oversight services to provinces, learning from international best practice, participating in international programs or activities. 1.2, the Department. The aim of the Department's Human Settlements is to determine, finance, promote, coordinate, communicate, and monitor policies in respect of housing and human settlements. The vision of the Department is a nation housed in sustainable human settlements. The mission is to facilitate an environment that provides sustainable human settlements. 2, Department strategic priorities and measurable objectives. 2.1, strategic plans of the Department. The Department has 6 strategic pillars. Strategic pillar 1, mandated outcomes. Pillar 2, coordination and alignment in human settlements development. Pillar 3, urbanization and spatial management. Pillar 4, key service delivery, shelter development priorities. That's strategic 4A, strategic pillar 4B, shelter development governance, strategic pillar 4C, shelter development reform, strategic pillar 5, transformation and paradigm shift, strategic pillar 6, institutional realignment. 2.2, measurable objectives of the department, strategic goal. Administration provides strategic leadership, administrative and management support services to the department. Strategic objectives. Executive support services provide executive support, internal audit, replenishment and special investigations, coordinate the provision of internal control, risk management and special investigation services. Corporate support provides corporate support in the department that will enhance quality work life in terms of acquisition of office space, security services and records management services. Human resource management manages and provides human resource administration, organizational design and performance management, labor relations, and human resource development. Information technology and systems provide information systems, services, infrastructure, and business application support in the department. Legal services provide legal services in the department, which includes the development of human settlement legislation. Strategic goal, housing policy research and monitoring. To manage the development, promotion, monitoring, and evaluation of sustainable human settlement policies and programs supported by responsive research. Strategic objectives. Policy develops national human settlement and housing policies and provides policy formulation and interpretation assistance. The sub-program also maintains the national housing code. Research initiatives undertakes and manages responsive research on integrated human settlement. Monitoring and evaluation monitors, evaluates, and assesses the implementation, performance, and impact of national housing policy and programs. Strategic goal, housing planning and delivery support, support implementation and delivery goals, capacity and liaise, and communicate with stakeholders for effective housing and human settlement programs. Strategic objectives, program implementation support provides support to provinces and municipalities to implement housing and human settlement projects and upgrade informal settlements. Rental housing and people's housing processes manages the implementation of social and rental housing programs and the people's housing process. Stakeholder mobilization manages the relations, mobilizes, and collaborates with stakeholders in the non-government sector. Capacity development builds capacity for housing administration and delivery in municipalities and provinces and promotes sustainable housing delivery and community empowerment. Priority project facilitation is responsible for managing priority housing and human settlement projects nationally. These projects are funded off provincial budgets. Human settlement planning. It's responsible for managing human settlement planning processes and supporting the implementation of human settlement and housing development frameworks. This sub-program was moved from housing policy research and monitoring. Sanitation services provide universal access to sanitation services by managing and administering the sanitation program. Housing Development Finance Fund, Housing and Human Settlement Development Program, provide financial and grant management services, promote investment in housing finance, mobilize and promote financial property within housing institutions, manages all matters provided by the Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Act of 2000. Strategic objective, financial and funds management provides overall financial and grant management services, including financial support, internal control, supply chain management and budget management, as well as grant management services and system support. Funding is mainly used for salaries and other personnel-related costs. Housing Equity manages activities related to the Office of Disclosure, housing aspects of the Financial Services Charter, and mobilizing and promoting investment for housing development. Funding is mainly used for salaries and other personnel-related costs. Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant reflects the conditional grant allocation that is transferred to the provinces. Funding is provided on the basis of housing needs, the number of households earning less than 3,500 per month, and the population in the province. Sanitation Grant, the conditional grant supports the development of infrastructure for sanitation services at provincial level. Contribution makes contributions to the housing institutions. Funds are transferred on the basis of a public entity meeting the governance and financial management requirements stipulated in the Public Finance Management Act of 1999. Strategic relations and governance coordinate the department's mandate within the intergovernmental relations framework, manage international relations, and promote good governance practices within the department and its public entities. Provide timely and integrated business information to the department. Strategic objective, management information services manages the development and implementation of integrated business solutions and data and information and provides knowledge services, intergovernmental relations and international relations, facilitates the department's participation in and management of international and intergovernmental relations. Communication manages communication and public relations, housing. Housing should shift down to the next bullet, Jacob. Housing institutions provide oversight management of housing institutions, including monitoring and analyzing and reporting on financial and non-financial performance and corporate governance. Strategic management manages overall organizational planning and supports the strategic management and operations of the department. Transformation develops and manages transformation programs in compliance with the national policy framework and international human rights instruments and directives. Contributions make contributions to the housing institutions and the Habitat Foundation to support the work of the United Nations Human Settlement Program. Analysis of the department's prevailing strategic and operational plan. That's the one where we said we just have to work with. The medium-term strategic framework positions human settlement as key to achieving two strategic positions, expansion of social and economic infrastructure, one, and two, building cohesive, caring, sustainable communities. The impact of housing was changed to human settlement with the realization that housing is not about shelter over people's heads, but is about economic growth and social development that are in balance with the caring capacity of the natural system on which people depended for their existence, and which subsequently results in sustainable development. BNG is said to be the answer to the government's plan. Guidance and support for implementation policy. Over the empty period, the Department of Human Settlement.
We are going to write this BNG in full, breaking the new ground, and then we'll put BNG in that.
Over the MTS period, the Department of Human Settlements will emphasize providing guidance and support on policy implementation. This will include direct support to provinces and municipalities on the implementation of projects, supporting projects with their blockages, and facilitating cooperation with the private sector. Housing and quality audit, a preliminary housing quality audit, is being conducted by the department and will focus on the persistent and chronic problems in the delivery of quality houses and the allocation of subsidies to non-qualifying beneficiaries, addressing spatial planning challenges, Having adopted a comprehensive approach to human settlements, the department will look at key challenges around spatial planning, such as urbanization and migration patterns, and further mushrooming of informal settlements. Coordinated sanitation program. Sanitation has been transferred to the Department of Human Settlements from the Department of Water Affairs. This shift will ensure that the provision of sanitation services countrywide is consolidated and coordinated. Key policy development. The National Housing Code was The National Housing Code was updated in 2008, in line with the Comprehensive Plan for Sustainable Human Settlements, focusing on particular areas of informal settlement upgrading, integrated residential development, and rural and social housing. The code provides considerable flexibility in contracting strategies and aims at improving urban efficiency by focusing on the development needs of an entire community or area. The National Housing Code was updated in 2008 in line with the Comprehensive Plan for Sustainable Human Settlements. Should be a full stop. Some of the challenges are planning, inadequate planning, lack of coordination and integration of different government functions, social cohesion and spatial capital. To a large extent, housing delivery still negates the role of civil society and the citizens themselves, therefore undermining social capital and building expenditure of the stakeholders.
Those challenges have been identified by the department. Must be clear, those were the challenges that have been identified by the department, not by us.
Something that the department identified the following challenges. While burdening the state and compromising its delivery capacity. 3.2 outcome 8 targets. In view of this, I think, Chair, that we just need specific the first part must be deleted. It must start with specific departmental performance targets. Specific departmental performance targets will be finalized once service delivery agreements are concluded in support of the identified outcomes. This process will be overseen by new functions within the presidency, with 180 million allocated over the medium-term expenditure framework.
Before we raise those challenges, we have to put that outcome 8 targets, and then that's a clause that starts by in view of this and ends by respect the same way. It has to come before the challenges. So that there's quite a lot of challenges that are coming up that has been identified by the department. They are on assignment somewhere after the expense report. So the challenges here, we are going to shift them to the other challenges that have been identified by the department.
Output 1, accelerated delivery of housing opportunities. The housing function is a concurrent function, and therefore the agreement for this output will be signed between the Minister of Human Settlements and the provincial MEC. This agreement is still applicable should accreditation level 2 be granted to a municipality as per the accreditation framework. The agreement for Output 1 specifies the targets of each province to contribute to national targets. The table breakdown shows that 400,000 informal settlement households will be upgraded over the medium term. That's by 2013, and 80,000 additional rental units will become available during this medium term framework. Output 2, access to basic services. The following 4 targets were set, of which the Department of Human Settlements is responsible for the sanitation function. water from 92% to 100%, sanitation from 69% to 100%, refuse removal from 64% to 75%, electricity from 81% to 92%. Output 3, release of well-located land and properties owned and held by the state in the National Sphere of Government for purposes of housing and human settlement development. This is an agreement between the Ministers of Human Settlement, Public Enterprises, Public Works and Rural Development and Land Reform. The ministers agree that in order to achieve the objective of this agreement, a robust mechanism be introduced to harvest public land from the National Sphere of Government and secure such land for human settlements development purposes. The delivery agreement outlines the action plan to achieve the objective of releasing state land and guide the efforts of their respective departments. Output 4, improved property market. This objective is to develop and implement a mortgage insurance program. Mortgage insurance program is a new initiative in the housing finance landscape of South Africa, and it is aimed at stimulating market confidence in the housing finance market. Given the current work conducted by the National Housing Finance Corporation, it requires close monitoring and follow-up by the committee. 3.2.3, critical issues raised by the department on outcome 8, it is concurrent functions and accountability. The concept of a performance agreement is a new concept in political governance and requires a mind shift in the way in which matters are approached in different spheres of government. The performance management framework requires a change from the current compliance-based framework to one that is based on inputs, activities, and outputs, which release the developmental outcome government wants to achieve. The current strategic and annual performance plan development compilation and reporting framework will require amendment to ensure that the inter-spheric framework that census is highlighted here. The current intergovernmental relations framework allows for consensus on matters of cooperation and needs to be amended to allow for more persuasive measures that enforces cooperation and coordination. Notwithstanding for current functions of the housing function, the Housing Act of 97 prescribes that provinces and municipalities are developers and implemented national as a policy, monitoring, and oversight function. This is reinforced by the current classification of the grant and requires reclassification to allow for a framework that allows the national department to have greater control and prescription over the use and application of the grant. Currently, it is in Schedule 5 and would require consideration of splitting it into different schedules to allow for flexibility and cross-sphere application. It is also deemed appropriate that due consideration be given to allow for the grant to have more than one framework, which would then allow for support of a full human settlement development mandate of the department in the short to medium term period. In addition, $1 billion is allocated to the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant to ensure accelerated housing delivery. Consolidated spending on housing, water services, and community amenities amounts to $81.6 billion in 2019, rising to $93.2 billion in 2010-11. Consequently, this will benefit people who earn between $3,500 and $9,000 a month. These members of the property market often find that they earn too much to qualify for the state housing subsidy, but too little to be able to access a bond from a bank, thereby broadening access to housing. Number 4, analysis of Section 32 expenditure reports, the overall departmental allocations and expenditures for 2019. The Department of Human Settlements was allocated an amount of $13.58 billion in 2019 financial year, which is 3% of the main budget. The main appropriation was adjusted upwards by $16.2 million to $13.6 billion during the adjustment period in the same year. The department only spent $13.37 billion, or 98.3% at the end of the 2019 financial year, which is a 233.27 million or 1.7% underspending. The underspending by the department emanated from the following programs: 4.1 administration. Program 1 was allocated a total budget of 167.7 million after the adjustment. The program has only managed to spend 130.8 million or 67.9 of its budget by the end, by the year end. This means that the program has an unspent balance of 31.1% of the budget. The lower than anticipated expenditure was due to unfilled vacant posts in the program, unspent funds for furniture and other equipment, adverts for recruitment and accommodation, transport and travel subsistence allowance. Housing policy research and monitoring. Program 2 was allocated a total amount of 67.17 million after adjustment, but only managed to spend 44.67 million or 66.5% of its budget. The underspent expenditure is due to the reduction in printing costs for the 2009 Housing Code, traveling costs and consultants. Housing planning and delivery support. Program 3 was allocated a total amount of 169.5 million in 2019 financial year. The program only spent 98.58 million or 58.2% at the end of the financial year. This high level of under expenditure emanated from delays in the implementation of the community outreach program, which was intended to provide housing in the Diepsloot area. Housing development finance. Program 4 was allocated a total budget of 13.034 billion in the 2009-10 financial year and managed to spend 12.988 billion, or 99.6% of the total budget allocation by the end of year end. This only reflects 0.4% under expenditure of the total budget for this program. The under expenditure was as a result of cost-cutting measures, such as the department developing an in-house strategy to deal with certain services which were previously outsourced, hence saving on consultation fees. Savings were also made through the reduction on stationery and printing associated costs. The under expenditure also emanated from the unspent funds, which were earmarked for the social housing regulator, which was allocated 34.9 million after the adjustment period.
Correction, the social housing regulatory authority.
Okay. Strategic relations and governance program 5 was allocated a total adjusted amount of 166.65 million in the 2009-10 financial year. Of this adjusted amount, only 126.65 million, or 76% of the total budget of this program, was spent by the year end. The underspending was as a result of unfilled vacant posts, less spending on the acquisition of computer services, and there was also no expenditure on the planned municipal accreditation assessment. Rollovers, 4.2 rollovers of the unspent funds to the 2010-11 financial year. The level of underspending in the above section is an indication that the department might apply for rollovers to the National Treasury for 2010-11 financial year. Depending on the circumstances, certain rollovers may be approved by the National Treasury, while others may not be approved. Looking at the table below, about 270 million rollovers were requested at the end of the 2009-10 financial year. However, only 82.6 million was approved by the National Treasury. Approved rollovers for the department. At the table, the amount, the total amount requested was 270 million, and 82 million was approved. 4.3, environment and shifting of funds from and to was and between programs during the adjustment period in line with the legislative framework, the PFMA. Those sections 43 of the Public Financial Management Act, number 1 of 99, makes provision for environment and shifting of funds from one program to the other, as well as movement of funds within the program. There are certain requirements that need to be met by an accounting officer. These conditions are as follows. Section 43.2 of the Public Financial Management Act provides that the amount of saving under the main division of the vote that may be utilized in terms of 1 may not exceed 8% of the amount appropriated under the main provision. Moreover, Section 43.4 states that this section does not authorize the utilization of saving if an amount is specifically and exclusively appropriated for the purpose mentioned under a main division within a vote, an amount appropriated for transfers to another institution, and an amount appropriated for capital expenditure to defray current expenditure. 4.31, environment and shifts of funds per program. Program 1, the department was allocated $198.5 million in Program 1, but an amount of $30.7 million was shifted from this program to other programs. Therefore, this program ended up with an available budget of $167.7 million after the adjustments, of which only 68% was spent. Program 2, the department was allocated an amount of $58 million for this program. However, an amount of $14.175 million was received by this program, while an amount of $5 million was taken away. And allocated to other programs during the adjustment period. The program ended up with an available budget of $67.175 million after the adjustment period, of which only $66.5 million was spent. Program 3, the department was allocated an amount of $138.4 million in Program 3, but an amount of $31 million was added to this program during the adjustment period. The department ended up with a final appropriation of $169 million after the adjustment period, of which only 58.2% was spent. We must still add in since Program 4 was left out. Summary of Program 4 was omitted erroneously, and we will just add that afterwards the meeting. The Social Housing Foundation is a sub-program of the Housing Development Finance Program, has received an amount of $240 million during the adjustment period, and managed to spend 100% of its budget. Tbilisha Homes, as a sub-program of the Housing Development Finance Program, received an amount of $18.7 million as an additional budget during the adjustment period, and managed to spend 100%. The department has taken away an amount of $240 million and $10 million from the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, as a sub-program of the Housing Development Finance Program to fund other programs. Program 5, an amount of $17.54 million was taken away from this program to fund and other programs during the adjustment period. This program also received an amount of $2 million from other programs, but only spent 76% of its budget, total budget. An amount of $16.2 million was received as an additional allocation to the total departmental budget during the adjustment period, hence the budget increased from $13.589 million to $13.605 million at the end of the 2009-10 financial year. 4.4, first quarter expenditure report for financial year 2010-11. In the 2010-11 financial year, the Department of Human Settlements was allocated a total budget of $16.2 billion. In the first quarter of the 2010-11 financial year, The department only managed to spend 3.637 billion, or 22.5% of the allocated budget. In the beginning of the financial year, the department had projected to spend about 3.8 billion in the first quarter, but only 3.6 billion could be spent. This reflects 200 million, or 2.6% underspending. The department experienced slower than expected expenditure in all programs, with the exception being Program 4, Housing Development Finance. Administration, Program 1, spent 25.2 million, or 14.3% of its total budget of 176.17 million by the end of June 2010. The under expenditure by this program was a result of a delay in the signing of the contract with the Special Investigative Unit, further underspending related to a dispute with the Department of Public Works in relation to office accommodation. Funds will be spent once the dispute is resolved. Housing Policy Research and Monitoring. Program 2 spent 4.763 million, or 10% of its total budget of 45.907 million by the end of June 2010. The under expenditure was attributed to delays in the issue of tenders related to the evaluation study on the upgrading of informal settlements and the performance of rental housing. Housing Planning and Delivery Support Program 3 spent 23.74 million, or 11.5% of its total budget of 206.83 million by the end of June 2010. The under expenditure was attributed to challenges relating to sanitation functions. Strategic Relations and Governance Program 5 spent 12.092 million, or 6.9% of its total budget of 174.4 million by the end of June 2010. The under expenditure was attributed to the Trevisita for the maintenance of housing subsidy system, not furnishing the department with an invoice for services rendered. With respect to economic classification, all three categories recorded under expenditure in the first quarter of 2010-11 financial year. According to the department, under expenditure related to current payment was due to delays in the following. Signing the contract with the Special Investigative Unit, issuing tenders for impact and evaluation studies on rental housing and informal settlement upgrading, invoices not received on time from CETA for the maintenance of the housing subsidy system, slow implementation support on the rural sanitation program. The level of under-expenditure in respect of capital payments was as a result of delays in transfers from the Rural Household Infrastructure Fund. Given that sanitation is a new function in the department, they have been experiencing some delays in contracting service providers in order to provide on-site training to rural households on the maintenance of the infrastructure before it is installed. The level of under-expenditure in respect of transfers and subsidies was due to the fact that transfers to public entities were not made due to delays in the finalization of business plans of the Housing Development Agency and the Rural Housing Loan Fund. The department has indicated that the plans will be finalized in June 2010 and funds are expected to flow from July 2010. $4.6 expenditure as at 30 August 2010. In the month of August, the Department of Human Settlements spent $1.389 billion, or 8.6% of the total allocated budget of $16.201 billion. Total expenditure by the department as at the 30 August $20.10 is 6.355 billion, or 39.2% of the allocated budget. Analysis of the department's annual report in entities. Program 1, 5.1 program overview. Program 1, administration. Due to the changes in cabinet during May, May 2009, the department also effected changes in order to reconfigure and reorganize its structures. This resulted in renaming from being the Department of Housing to Department of Human Settlements in July 2009. The naming convention of the Information Technology System was affected, and all systems were adjusted accordingly. Further, due to the Transport Sanitation Function, the workload and its regional offices, the department had to conduct additional personnel and administrative tasks. The appointment of staff members from the Department of Water Affairs had to be done manually because Vassal did not transfer them programmatically. Instead of four quarterly reports presented to the audit committee, the department only managed two. The lack of office space challenge negatively impacted on filling of vacant posts in the department. Program 2, Housing Policy Research and Monitoring. During 2019, the department initiated 7 beneficiary occupancy audits in provinces. Because the performance indicators for the department are vague, it is unclear whether they are completed and exactly how many audits were planned. The department initiated a process to verify and confirm housing delivery as reported by the provincial departments. A policy framework for establishing a housing program for persons with special housing needs was completed, but yet to be deliberated with the Department of Social Development, since it focuses on children who are destitute and or lost both their parents' guardians. Program 3, Housing Planning and Delivery Support. A number of challenges were encountered in terms of facilitating priority projects due to a vacancy in the vacancies in the department. Example, this limited the level of technical and project management support given to priority projects, as well as tracking progress for some of the projects. Further, this resulted in an inability to ensure projects comply with the national housing policy and programs, as well as compliance with national norms and standards. Priority projects are also facing a challenge in terms of the timely provision of socioeconomic amenities. This is due to a misalignment of the human settlement priorities and those of relevant sector departments. This requires greater intersectoral collaboration and coordination. The department reported a lack of budgeting or planning for the implementation of the People's Housing Process, or PHP, in provinces, as well as general resistance to implementation by some provinces. A major concern is the department's vague service delivery indicators it set for itself in terms of the empowerment and support of women and youth in human settlement. The department claims partial achievement of these targets, but since these targets are not measurable or time-bound, performance cannot really be assessed. Program 4, Housing Development Finance. The bulk of the department's budget is appropriated to Program 4 through the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant. During 2009-10 financial year, the department invoked Sections 22, Policy Sections 26 and 27 of the Division of Revenue Act to stop or redirect funds from the Eastern Cape and Northwest Province. In terms of the Northwest, $52 million was reallocated to the Northern Province in terms of an agreement between the two provinces to finance former cross-border towns. In the case of the Eastern Cape, $217 million were redirected to Gauteng, Free State, and Mpumalanga. This was because the province could not indicate that it had the capacity to spend all funding.
Thank you.
I think when we need to put that this is the performance information, because at the beginning we were dealing with the financial information. So we need to put that this is the performance information, so that anybody who was not part of this meeting would understand why our experience center sent it yet without, because that person can just comment without looking at that information is different from what was presented before. Housing, the cross border, Program 5, strategy intergovernmental relations and governance. Financial austerity measures imposed on international travel severely impacted on maintaining international relations. Over the medium term, it is likely that the department will continue to dramatically scale down its international activities. It is anticipated that this will reduce Africa's ability to advocate for issues affecting the poor, as well as developing countries in the international arena. In addition, this also has implications for South Africa's exposure to international practice and to emerging approaches to human settlement development. To reduce this risk, the department is pursuing stronger partnerships with the local presence of United Nations Habitat and the World Bank. In terms of communication services, the department reviewed the strategy from media campaigns to the minister's approach, which relied less on media space. The department also faced accommodation-related challenges which impacted on the ability to fill vacancies, as well as managing staff who were not always accommodated with their colleagues. The department reported a lack of clarity about the same functional mandate on youth and gender issues between the sub-program transformation, the sub-program stakeholder mobilization. Departmental entities, 5.2 departmental entities.
Just a second on program 5, our first paragraph. I think we amended it. I didn't hear how you amended it. And in program 5, your first paragraph.
Yeah.
The first sentence.
Okay.
You can read it at that.
Financial austerity measures imposed on international travel severely impacted on maintaining international relations. There's a word missing, sir.
Okay. So I just tell that impact would be negative or positive. I guess in a situation like that, we want to put negative impact there, because generally would be positive impact and negative impact. But in this case, if I read the entire sentence of paragraph, it seems the negative impact. Why it was very good to have this financial feature had a negative impact there in terms of the maintaining this international relationship. Right.
Departmental entities, 5.2. Following is an overview of entities reporting to the department. The National Urban Reconstruction and Housing Agency. Nurture, strategic focus is on the financing of building contractors in the housing industry, specifically subsidized affordable housing and related community infrastructure. During 2019, Nurture financed 119 contractors that produced more than 19,172 housing units and 48 infrastructure and community facility projects. More than 80% of the entrepreneurs supported were black, of whom an increasing number are women contractors. Performance challenges during 2019 include the failure of employers to allocate tenders, late payments by employers, especially government departments and state-owned enterprises, reliance on financial accounts and retention money to settle debt. The National Home Builders Registration Council, I must apologize, we didn't have a copy of the annual report last night. The chairperson assisted us this morning, so we will just add a summary of their performance.
But in essence, the NHBRC's mandate is to protect housing consumers from unscrupulous home builders. It provides an exclusive regulatory function in the home building environment. National Housing Finance Corporation. The NHFC was established as a development finance institution, and its mandate is to make housing finance accessible and affordable to low to middle income households. It is also responsible for mobilizing and raising private sector funding for housing purposes. The 2019 financial year was a challenging one for the NHFC due to the global financial crisis. Amongst others, continued declining interest rates, although favorable to consumers, led to decreased interest income for the NHFC. Profit before tax was 51% lower than the previous year. However, the NHFC secured external funding. It also conducted a feasibility study on introducing a mortgage loan default insurance in South Africa. The introduction of the MI is aimed at strengthening and expanding the housing finance system and addressing the constant challenges of affordability and accessibility for the underserved segment of the housing market. The Housing Development Agency, the HDA's purpose is to identify, acquire, hold, develop, and release state and privately owned land for residential and community purposes and for the creation of sustainable human settlements. In essence, it assists provinces and municipalities with land acquisition, project development, and management. HDA identifies one of its most notable achievements as having brought stability and credibility, governance and management framework to the Integrated Project. It also established a land inventory and information system based on the Geographic Information System, or GIS. It is the Land and Spatial Information System, LAPSIS. However, the coordination of land transfers between departments has been a challenge, as well as the absence of a medium-term planning framework in many local authorities. There's a note, members, that we must still add on the number of hectares of land that the agency acquired during the 19th financial year. The Social Housing Regulatory Authority. The SHRA regulates social housing institutions that receive funds from government for the construction of low and medium income rental housing. The SHRA was established during the current financial year. It is April 2010, and therefore no annual report was published for the 2019 financial year. The SCOPA report will be followed. We haven't included the SCOPA report as yet.
There are five minutes that reported in from Parliament. I don't know what happened. It was, if you remember, the last session. I think it was the last week before we left for the consequences period in September. There were reports that were tabled before Parliament, SCOPA report, but we are still trying to get hold of them from the committee section, but you know, assuming no one seems to be knowing this report. But if we fail with that record that we don't find it, but I thought we can sit down.
I'm trying to, but we cannot get them from the members of the book.
get any vote from my office. Go to the right hand as the chairperson or the whip of that committee or the committee section. And I think Parliament is not the committee section, because they are the ones who put the report to ATC. They are the ones who are responsible for ATC. But if now they can say they can't say they don't remember it, so you find yourself taking it. See, apparently, my day is here for you, but the only people in the report is about my ATC. But the report was adopted. So it's a challenge, but we need to address that later on.
Thank you. Consideration of other sources of information, 7.1, Auditor General report. As the case the previous year, the Auditor General, or AG, provided an unqualified report to the Department of Human Settlements for 2019. The AG did, however, emphasize the following three issues: emphasis of matter, basis of accounting, the Department's policies to prepare financial statements on a modified cash basis. This issue was highlighted by the AG. So the South African Public Service is moving towards generally recognized accounting practices, or GRAP. The department's use of the modified cash basis for accounting is not contravention of any legislation or regulation. Irregular expenditure to the value of 920,000 where proper procurement processes were not followed. Further, officials acted in vacant positions without a relevant approval. This constituted non-compliance with the public service regulation. Significant uncertainty. The department is a defendant in various legal disputes of which the outcome cannot be predetermined. An amount of 72.4 million was disclosed as contingency liability. The department cannot budget for liability such as the one mentioned above. This amount does pose a risk because should the department lose all of its court cases, it may become liable for this amount and it would have to recover it from its operational activities. The AG highlighted this issue because it poses a possible risk to the department. Report on legal and regulatory requirements. The report focuses on predetermined objectives as stated in the strategic plan, compliance of the Public Financial Management Act, Division of Revenue Act, and financial management of department. It is its internal control. Predetermined objective. Submission of strategic report. Treasury Regulation 5.21 and 5.22 requires that an accounting officer of the national department provide Parliament with a strategic plan at least 10 days prior to the discussion of the department's budget vote. This did not happen. Reasons for major differences between planned and actual reported targets were not explained. There are major discrepancies between the planned, as stated in the 2019 operational plan, and actual targets reported for Program 3. Housing planning and delivery support. Adequate explanations were not provided for this deviation. Reported performance information not received in time. The AG could not verify 54% of the reported targets of Program 3, housing planning and delivery support. This information was not received in time for audit purposes. 2. Commenting on the usefulness of reported performance information. Changes to plan performance information are approved. The department reported an objective, indicators, and targets, which were in addition to and different from those in the approved 2019 operational plan. These changes were not approved subsequent to the strategic planning process. Changes to plan performance not disclosed in annual performance report. The National Treasury Preparation Guide for Annual Reports indicates that changes to targets and indicators from the approved 2019 operational plan should be disclosed and explained. The department did not disclose in the annual performance report, which is submitted for audit purposes. Incomplete reporting on all predetermined objectives, indicators, and targets. About a third of all planned indicators and targets specified in the 2019 operational plan for both Program 3 and Program 4 were not reported on in the annual performance plan. Planned and reported performance targets not specified, measurable, and time-bound. As relates to Program 3, the following applies: 52% of planned and reported targets were not measurable.
and 34% of planned and reported targets were not timed up. The state fund is period or deadline for delivery. Planned and reported indicators not verifiable. About 38% of Program 3's planned and reported indicators could not be verified since it was not possible to validate the indicator. Reported targets not accurate and as supporting source information provided was inadequate. Accuracy of 21% of the reported targets for Program 4 Housing Development Finance could not be established since sufficient sourcing documentation could not be provided for audit purposes. Compliance with legislation and regulation. The accounting officer did not always pay creditors within 30 days from receipt of invoice. This constitutes non-compliance with the PFMA and Treasury Regulation 8.23 of 2005. Internal control. The AG reviewed internal control within the context of financial statements audited. Its report on predetermined objectives, 15.1 above, and compliance with legislation. Leadership. The department lacked sufficient monitoring controls to ensure its compliance with legislation and regulations in respect to the approval of the strategic plan and the framework on performance information. This comment relates to the department's failure to disclose changes in its predetermined objectives in its annual performance plan. Financial and performance management. The department does not have reliable performance management systems for identifying and capturing information as per the framework for managing performance information and the National Treasury's performance framework to support performance reporting. The department's financial systems were located for the timeliest capturing and payment of invoices within the legislative deadline. The department does not have systems appropriate for facilitating the preparation of performance reports. Governance. The department does not properly monitor and supervise the effectiveness of internal control over supply chain management. Critical issues. The department is currently, by May 2010, facing an investigation relating to a 100 million guarantee given by the department to one of its entities. This was in contravention of the provisions of the PFMA. In 2008-9 annual report, it was reported the department was a party to an agency agreement with the National Housing Finance Corporation and to Belisha Homes for a loan to the value of 100 million for the N2 Gateway project, without complying with Section 66, 71A, 381C2, and 38(2) of the PFMA, which requires the approval of the Minister of Finance and states that the accounting officer of a department may not commit a department to any liability for which money has not been appropriated, or issue a guarantee without the approval of the executive authority in concurrence with the Minister of Finance. 7.2, Financial and Fiscal Commission. Factors hampering delivery and development of rental housing in South Africa. First of all, housing institutions have highlighted a number of issues that impact the delivery and development of rental market in South Africa. These factors are pertaining policy and regulatory environment, funding and institutional aspects as indicated below. The recommendations made by the Commission are also informed by some of these challenges. Policy and legislative provisions. In the present moment, it is only those social housing projects which fall within the designated restructuring zones which are eligible to receive social housing restructuring capital grant. During the inception of the social housing restructuring capital grant, the then Department of Housing, together with some cities and provincial administration, identified 9 municipalities that are to be included in the first phase, limiting access to the SHRCG to social housing projects within the DRC, yet has the effect of limiting the delivery of social housing to within these zones. Even if the social housing institutions identified viable projects outside these zones. One of the requirements for the projects to qualify for the SHRCG is that the unit size should be at least 30 square meters. While this requirement is suited to ensuring that the SHI deliver rental units of adequate quality and size, especially for greenfield projects, the guidelines fail to make suitable provisions for non-greenfield projects. In some cases, SHII old buildings with existing units are below the minimum size. These buildings require funding for upgrading, and the SHI would struggle to raise their own without assistance from the government funding processes. There's a number of SHI complaints of the slow process involved in obtaining funding from provincial housing departments. Some attribute the lag between approval and the disbursement of funding to the lack of capacity within the provincial housing department. In a project undertaken by the Financial and Fiscal Commission during 2007 regarding bottlenecks in the delivery of houses, the slow and overly bureaucratic manner in which the resources flow between provinces and municipalities was highlighted as a key concern. Secondly, the other concern is that the income bands linked to the institutional subsidies were developed for a pilot program some years ago and have not been adjusted, despite increases in construction costs, as well as the cost of living due to inflation pressures. In other words, the income bands have not been adjusted to increasing cost of living over the past years, and by doing so, excluded some individuals who should qualify for a subsidy. In essence, in order to achieve policy goals and objectives, policies need to be adaptable. In this case, in order to reach the target market, the income eligibility criteria of funding instruments should be reviewed. Institutional processes. In light of the establishment of DRZ, social housing projects can be an important driver of urban renewal. A critical consideration is the location of a housing project, namely, if projects are located in the middle of the old neighborhood that are far from social and economic opportunities, the tenants with a probability of a low income will be disadvantaged. Furthermore, it is also concerned that greater coordination is not being put into improving intergovernmental coordination to ensure that various forms of complementary funding opportunities for social housing are leveraged so that holistic development occurs. This will ensure that housing initiatives do not occur in isolation to other important social and economic necessities that allow for the development of a strong and sustainable community. Some streams of funding that could be used for rental housing initiatives include the Neighborhood Partnership Development and other urban renewal type grants. Recommendations for the 2010-11 Division of Revenue Bill. In view of the above analyzed challenges which are identified in 2010-11, the Financial and Fiscal Commission proposes the following recommendations for the 2010 Division of Revenue Bill, namely, relaxation and flexibility on the eligibility for accessing the SHCRG to allow projects falling outside the DRZs to access funding. A number of DRZs do respond to excess demand for rental housing. Minimum unit size for development of existing buildings. Two, the process of disbursing funds in the rental housing sector should be made shorter as to minimize the time lag following the submission of approved project plans. The Social Housing Regulatory Authority should improve intersectoral coordination between various government departments responsible for integrated human settlements. The qualifying income band should be reviewed to ensure that individuals are not unfairly excluded from benefiting from the subsidy, for example, due to the increase in the cost of living. Key issues. State provision of rental housing represents an intervention aimed at the provision of adequate housing, especially for low and middle income groups who cannot afford to buy homes. One of the most important characteristics of rental housing, which makes it distinct from other forms of public housing programs, is that in order to be eligible to rent, potential tenants must have an income that enables them to sustain their rent payments. The policy and regulatory environment, funding and institutional factors that are hampering the speed and further development of the rental housing sector have been discussed. The policy in its current form enables only those housing social housing projects that fall in DRZs to benefit from the SHCRG. The fact that any project outside of the DRZs are unable to source funding from the SHCRG, even if it targets the deep down market, limits the delivery of rental housing, especially where SHIs have identified viable projects that are ready to be implemented. Furthermore, one of the requirements of the project to qualify for the SHCRG is that the unit size be at least 30 square meters. While this requirement is appropriate in ensuring that the SHIs deliver rental units of decent quality and size, especially for greenfield projects, the guidelines fail to make provisions for non-greenfield. The South African Human Rights Commission haven't finalized the report. If I could just read the first part here. The South African Human Rights Commission report on its investigation into issues of rule of law, justice, and impunity arising out of the 2008 public violence against non-nationals. Summary of key issues. Visits conducted by the South African Human Rights Commission to areas affected by the 2008 violence revealed that the lack of road infrastructure, street names, lighting, and shack numbers, amongst others, hindered policing of the public violence. Further, the South African Human Rights Commission found that vulnerability to public violence is exacerbated by the lack of interventions to manage and formalize informal settlements, which receive large numbers of internal and international migrants. There are, I think, three core recommendations. We only managed to capture the first one, the second one, the first two. The department formulated recommendations by the Human Rights Commission. That the department, that's the Department of Human Settlements, formulates a policy on the partial formalization of infrastructure and property tenure in informal settlements in at-risk areas. The department engages with residents of informal settlements and RDP settlements to raise awareness of the existing policies and obtain information on challenges faced by the residents.
The Department of Human Settlements and the Department of Home Affairs adopted a management perspective on the issue of informal settlements and undocumented migration into them. The eradication of informal settlements and combating of undocumented migration should be treated as separate longer-term goals with their management in the short to term to medium-term views as essential to ensuring the human security of nationals and non-nationals alike in South Africa. Then the last one is the Department of Human Settlements, Housing. What is DSD? That was the last one. What I was reading that referred to us as Department of Housing and the Department of Home Affairs. So we have a
moving on to the State of the Nation address, summary of commitments. The 2009 State of the Nation address committed government to providing suitably located affordable housing and decent human settlements. This would be achieved as part of the government's social infrastructure development program. Point two, further, the State of the Nation address committed government to the development of a comprehensive rural development strategy, affirming the right of rural dwellers to basic services and infrastructure such as water, electricity, flush toilets, etc. Analysis. The 2009 State of the Nation address was delivered against the backdrop of the department renaming from housing to human settlements. This change in name conveyed the department's broadening mandate and widened scope that human settlement is not just about building houses, unquote. That was as quoted by the president. As such, the department identified the development of sustainable communities as its strategic anchor. The department's mandate widened to include the transport and sanitation function previously the responsibility of the Department of Water, Waste and Forestry. In this regard, Parliament should keep abreast of how the department is effective this new mandate, including monitoring the operational implications for the department, such as staff and administrative issues. A key vehicle for achieving the department's objective of developing sustainable human settlement is the disbursement of the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant promises. In 2009-10 financial year, Parliament appropriated $12.5 billion to the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant. The grant funds, amongst others, internal municipal infrastructure such as roads, water, sewage connections, street lighting, and stormwater drainage. As such, the Integrated Grant requires close monitoring by Parliament, since it is a key vehicle for achieving the 2009 State of the Nation Address's commitment to infrastructure development in rural areas. The grant also funds individual housing subsidies for qualifying beneficiaries as well as institutional subsidies such as community development associations for people's housing projects and social housing institutions. Further, it funds land acquisitions to accommodate well-located housing development in cases where either province or municipality do not have land available. While the grant provides the funding mechanism for land acquisitions, the Housing Development Agency Act 23 of 2008 provides for the establishment of a statutory body to assist provinces and municipalities with such acquisitions. Given the State of the Nation's emphasis on suitably located, unquote, human settlements, it also suggests that Parliament should monitor the establishment of a house of the Housing Development Agency during 2019. The 2009 State of the Nation address emphasized the need for decent human settlements, which speaks to the challenge of ensuring newly constructed houses are of good quality. Given challenges experienced in this regard in the past, this should be an important focus for Parliament during 2019. The next heading is implications for Parliament. Parliament should be kept abreast of how the department is effective with additional mandates in sanitation. This should include any staffing and administrative issues which arose from this additional mandate. Parliament should monitor progress towards the development of internal municipal infrastructure, commonly referred to, such as roads, water and sewage connections, street lighting and stormwater drainage, especially in rural areas. Parliament should continue to monitor the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant as a key vehicle for the achievement of sustainable human settlements. In this regard, Parliament should also focus on provinces and municipalities' capacity to administer the grant, as well as compliance with new relevant legislation and regulations. Parliament should review challenges in respect to the acquisition of suitably located land for the development of sustainable human settlements. Parliament should keep abreast of the establishment of the Housing Development Agency and its contribution towards acquiring suitably located land. Parliament should continue to monitor the quality of newly constructed housing, thereby ensuring funds appropriate for this function is used effectively and efficiently. Oversight reports. The portfolio committee undertook two oversight visits during the period under review. It is the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape. During the second...
Villages, I wouldn't have a problem about water, roads. But I'm just worried if you are saying, because this is an area that the parliament must look at, it's very important. This lightning in broad area, surely, where one of the woods that would have stayed, they would be good. But so much that drainage, especially in broad area. And I just guess that it's fine to mention that. But I think we should end with the move, especially in broad area.
Well, I think let's just focus on the development on a holistically. So that we want the Ghana could buy the Ghana Christmas toilet. All the ordinary areas because. And because the educated information in the community in the world will make sure that they are created large investments, but they are not after 100 years. But let's just take it as a holistic development. During the second quarter of 2010, the committee undertook further visits to the Free State and Gauteng, the Eastern Cape province. The committee undertook an oversight visit to the Eastern Cape from 4 to 10 October 2009 to execute its constitutional mandate. The purpose of the visit was to oversee the state of the province on human settlement delivery acceleration, as well as to conduct on-site visits. Overall committee observations, houses displayed structural defects, although the rectification program was claimed to have been completed, there are no signs of rectification or construction undertaken in some areas. Some of the defects observed included ceilings installed despite leaking roofs, no water collection or sanitation facilities, no exit roads or clinics. There was a lack of monitoring and evaluation as follows, project managers and contractors do not communicate with the community. Councillors are not involved in projects and are not in position to address the community complaints since they lack information. There's a lack of monitoring, evaluation, and inspection in most projects. There was a lack of communication from the province to the local municipalities as councillors, and the communities are not aware of or informed about the delegation's visit.
Unreliable information was provided by an official who produced a control sheet which reflected that work was completed only to find that it was not. The committee considered this information misleading.
Bullet number two, we are going to move this to the overall, because that's a general observation to all the provinces. But the first one is directly to the Eastern Cape, and I think the second one, unreliable information, is directly to the Eastern Cape, because that's where and then I think the other one, yes, and Nelson Mandela, is it having the higher? We have to mention about it so that it can be addressed. I think the issue of breaking the new ground, it touches all, because it's not implementable to all these provinces. There is no green, this one touches all. Then there is a lack of proper management. The issue of beneficiaries touches them all. And there is lack of community, it touches them all. Spiral and cost is an overall. There is a lack of suitable land, it's an overall problem. There is a lack of capacity. So it's in case it's worse, it's in magic contrast, but I think it can put specifically put this way, it's in case. And then there's also lack of access to funding due to linked payments, that is an overall KG. Some established contractors for this one is the same. Yeah, this part of the issue of water scarcity is very much important, because if you remember, we were in Madana and also the Alexandria. Then the occupancy audit, this one is specifically for the Eastern Cape, because where we find that USAPCON completed the occupancy audit, but Nelson Mandela did not want to release the report. Then the issue of land, USAPCON is specifically for Eastern Cape, where the Tubenisha got acquired land for this community, Mulanyana community, and then the Nelson Mandela Metro was not developed in that area. And then they told us that it's because of the ESA problem. And then when we requested the report, they did not give us the report, and then we get the report from the environmental affairs, and we found that it was just it was approved by the environmental affairs, but the problem was that there are conditions in all the approvals to say when you are building here, you have to make sure that there is bank infrastructure. So it's just a standardized condition. So it means there is that reluctance, they were not prepared to build for that community. And then the issue of the Section 100 of the Constitution, the department, the National Department was there providing an intervention, and they told us that, in fact, the NEC told us that that was their final year to be 2009. So they are specific for the same case.
Complain.
All right.
Just for clarity, we will group the Eastern Cape observations together, and then afterwards there will be a general or overall one where the key issues you identify and how will be addressed.
To the Free State. The Free State, we have identified the issue of the budget system. They still have the budget system. And then, for instance, the Matumpa municipality reported that they have a shortfall of 4 million to cover their backlog. And they also identified that there was a 17,000 units that had been approved that were impacted by the province, and we did not receive any explanation about that one. I think those were the key issues that were related to the first thing. But the members came to mind, but I just said, when I was looking for my name, those were the key issues, those two. But I don't know whether it is possible to report on this issue. The Free State is building big houses that are up to 75. Now we have got a question, where do they get this money from? Because the money that we have dispersed is for a credit for this building. But we didn't receive any clear report about that one. But they said it's a 10 years program. But there's no money that comes from the union office. So it means those restructured units, 17,000 units, they were moved to, this is the result of this shifting of funds to another program, and then other people suffering. And you'll find that now, the municipalities, they care the problem. The community protests, and they fight with the municipalities. Yet, it's a problem. So, I think we need to construct something around those lines. Honorable Bobani, you're welcome. Okay. So can I take the phone and then I'll get
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for being so late, but I did explain. Coming in on the tail end of what you were saying, I want to support you in that. I think we do need to highlight the fact, because we were concerned about the different sizes of housing, because it affects not only the people, you know, in the Free State, but people talk and things get onto the news, and you know, and then it looks as if we are delivering bigger houses. I just want to support you.
In fact, the MEC of Northwest, you remember, she told us that they, now people from Northwest are demanding what is happening in Free State. And then said, no way, I can't do it because I don't have money. I don't know where Free State got money.
Is it not that what we should try then to capture? I think the team would be able to. Just to emphasize again that the provinces, whoever really is involved in this thing, but just to see to the norms and standards and set up an international. Because this, I think our main worry is that this shifting from norms and standards, other areas in our system, in fact, are for 80 to 100. But other provinces will never afford that, or there's no money. But I thought that we're raising with them, that is a problem, because they're taking a bad business. If they go beyond the norms and standards, then I suppose that would be another problem. I think that's the point that we want to do.
Thank you.
accommodation. Because we're not kept up the thing. Because we said we are going to list all the oversight in one page, in one sequence. And the housing, we agreed that we are going to talk about this deterioration and the collapsing of the bus infrastructure because of this overpopulation. And then the other issue is the issue of the deep flood. I think the issue of the deep flood where we found that there are people who have been occupying those houses before 2004. Now they are unable to. I mean, really, it means now it's going to have a cost implication for government. Because if you remove them, they will take you to court. Because they've been there for more than 5 years. So the department must come up with a strategy to handle that matter in a manner that is not going to harm anybody. Well, what we need is, I mean, the department has to have two options there. It's either they remove those people, they put them somewhere, but which is not going to be possible. The second one is either they take those people who have been approved. They must make sure those people do have accommodation. They must not just keep quiet and leave them abandoned. And then the other issue in housing was the issue of no, we don't want to talk, I've already put it. When I have it covered when I said because of deterioration and collapsing. But what we need to do, we need to motivate, to recommend that there should be an urgent attention by the National Treasury or the cabinet. They say it's going to the cabinet, going to the cabinet around their budget. And then, those were the things. I had the issue. I can't remember the third one. Ivory Park. I think the issue of Ivory Park, where people are occupying the stand, five people occupying the stand. What is it? Marcella? Marcella 2. What is the Ivory Park? I yeah, Marcella 2. So I think that issue it has to be highlighted because I think it will make. Did you beg that? What do you say beg? Beg? Who I buy? Who do you have going to take him? What do you have going to so I think those are the critical issues that are related to
that. I know that you will touch on this point, but I do think that the point that maybe we should try to put it in this, I think should use the wording at the different whatever way it is taking infrastructure. Because I think you want to cover the two actions in
so say aging.
Yeah,
I think another issue, yeah, as you are not able to understand, because, you know, there's an issue with stuff and stuff like that, I don't
know.
But no. Before it was, there's that area up for Abandon, that area, and that thing is both parties, it's ANC and IFP. So I think there's a political
something that is happening there. We need to render so that those political leadership must attend to that. His sickness was from attorneys from Parliament and Ubaba Shay. They must go and talk to their people. Parliament must make it a point that those issues must address. You can't let about Marshall Elwa Day. Who's going to be responsible? They still are in Okun. No, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. It's not a problem, it's not an undermining. But then you can tell that in case in town, because you can't have the ANC, you don't have a problem. You can do that. But what we're saying is sometimes we do love that. I'm not saying you want, but in a general way, the protocol is the organization. So we must respect them. That is why I'm saying at least Uber Mantol and Uber Mushan, they can go and address those things. But we won't mention their name. But we will say those political parties are going there.
There's another issue. When we were having the report, I'm sure who chief whip will attack me because that is his problem. We had a false report that we are given to us that they don't have any storage problem.
That should be an overall and general problem, because most of the provinces, they were not giving us the correct information until such time. So we have to put that in an overall observation.
Have a say on that.
No,
they become too overly congested.
We need to discuss that because the issue is the land. You know, I was looking, I'm not on the mind anymore. I was looking when we were coming from Kelly Center, I was looking at these houses. These houses are like the houses that are in there, those are the first old houses. They are similar to those that are in the MCBT. Because the problem is land. It's land available. That is why, but I will not say we are commending, I mean, we are condoning that. But I think we need to discuss it amongst ourselves first. So there was an ample time for us to discuss about it as the committee, even with the department, especially. Because there are quite a lot of issues that we have raised, but there are quite a lot of issues that we have not raised, of which we are still going to embark on them. Because as we are going to recommend on this report, we are not going to recommend for all, we are going to say there are other issues for the rest of the issues in this report. We are going to engage regularly with the department. I don't know whether you are satisfied.
No, it's just that I wasn't sure whether it was time yet for us to introduce that, or we would wait for another time.
Yes, you have rightfully. Chairperson, you can stop me if you've dealt with this, but I just want to raise also in that trip that we had was the conditions of the hostel at Tukona. People cannot live like that. Totally overcrowded. I think they said 4,000 to accommodate 4,000, and there were 10,000 people living there. I mean, it was hopelessly overcrowded. And there you had all the sewage water pouring out of the flat. So I think we need to highlight that, because my understanding is the baskets on the program, I don't think there's money to deal with the problems there. And I think that actually should be a priority.
Question K. Yeah. Did you put anything for question K? Yeah, I think for Western Cape, with the issue of the terms, they've got so many service terms, and they've been there for quite a long time. So they are not occupied. So that thing has to be addressed. And I think the issue of the informal settlement in Pretoria, which has been of the land that has been occupied, is a private owned land. But we have to raise it. But when I was passing through, I couldn't find, I couldn't see now the cuckoos after we requested the municipality. But I don't have to take chances because you might not see them today, and then tomorrow they are there. So I think it's better if they are, it is there in our report. Let's research it. And then the issue of the geotech problems in Beaufort West, it's difficult to develop that area because that area requires the high-tech machines, advanced machines. And then the other issue is the issue of Naisna, where there is a problem, the province is reluctant to build in those villages, forestry villages, I mean, to provide basic services on those forestry villages. I think the issue of the discount benefits, the enhanced discount benefit scheme, it affects all the provinces. So those are the issues that I picked up from the Western Cape. And the Western Cape is not complying with the rectification program. They are not taking it seriously. So those are the issues that I picked up from the Western Cape.
Then we're moving over to the Millennium Development Goals General. The general operations share that you've identified now are being grouped together after this. The Millennium Development Goal target. Goal 7 of the MDGs is aimed at ensuring environmental sustainability. Under this goal, two targets speak specifically to the human settlements mandate. It is by 2015, half the proportion of the population without sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. By 2020, achieve a significant improvement in the lives of at least 100 million slum dwellers. The attainment of set targets for sanitation. As of April 2008, the sanitation backlog.
Oh, sorry. Can I just go back? That sounds really funny. You know, the Millennium Development Goals, by 2015, half the proportion of the population without sustainable access. Can't we put that into a different way? In that, by 2015, we want to halve. Not half the proportion without sustainable. I'm sure the researcher can put that in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I should just, I think what we need to do, this is how the UN standard is set.
Oh, that's what that is.
That's how the UN approaches the standard, but we can certainly go back and just maybe rewrite it in terms of what does it mean for South Africa in terms of our figures, what does the base year figure. And how, what percentage are we moving it to in 2015, maybe?
I think that would be clear, because as we say all the time, and our work is reminding us, we don't want people to misunderstand what it is we're saying here.
As in April 2, attainment of the state target of the
Ah.
As of April 2008, the sanitation backlog was estimated at 3.3 million homes, declining from approximately 4.7 million at the time of the 2001 census. In 1994, 600,000 households used the bucket system, while in March 2009, 9,000 households were using the bucket system. The target for universal access to sanitation is 2040. At this rate, South Africa has made while in March 2009, 9,044 households were using the bucket system. The target date for universal access to sanitation is 2014. At this rate, South Africa has made demonstrable progress in terms of sanitation and is likely to meet the MDG sanitation goal. Although, according to the data South Africa's 2010 progress report, the goal of fully eliminating sanitation the goal of eliminating the full sanitation backlog by 2014 may seem too ambitious. By 2010, the sanitation backlog is estimated to have been reduced to 21% from a high of 52% in 1994. This represents significant progress in the eradication of basic sanitation infrastructure backlog. In addition, the government has also moved significantly closer to attaining its objective of eradicating the bucket system in formally established settlements. There is recognition, however, that the bucket system may continue to be used in informal settlements. Eradicating informal settlements or slums, that is just the UN language, the disintegration of the apartheid legacy of social engineering, not all, it should be and, after 1994 has resulted in a steady progress of urbanization at a rate that has surpassed the capacity of the state to provide adequate housing. As a result, South Africa's urban and semi-urban landscape is characterized by significant informal settlements. As of March 2009, the National Housing Program is estimated to have delivered 2.8 million houses, providing shelter to over 13.5 million people. Of 2.8 million houses, over 1.2 million were built from 2004 after the launch of the Breaking New Ground policy, a government program that has the specific aim of eradicating informal slums. The backlog, the housing backlog is about 2.2 million, according to the annual rate housing delivery. South Africa really needs to improve in terms of the number of units provided in order to keep up with the UN's goal of eradicating informal settlements and providing housing to its citizens. Committee observations. Moving to number 8. During 2019, the department was renamed from Housing to Human Settlements, which conveys its expanded mandate of ensuring the achievement of sustainable human settlements. Further, the department was allocated the sanitation function, which was transferred from the Department of Water, Waste and Forestry. This necessitated a review of the department's delivery model, which in turn informed the realignment of limited resources. For future purposes, the department will have to enter into a memorandum of understanding for cooperation since the legislation governing the delivery of sanitation will be administered by the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. And linked to this, then there is a recommendation check that will read later. A key challenge facing the human settlement sector relates to the current inadequate intergovernmental coordination for accelerated housing delivery. Of particular concern is the inability of provinces and municipalities to achieve national targets, as well as inadequate capacity to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the housing program. Further, the committee takes note of the fact that the timely provision of socioeconomic amenities is hampered due to the misalignment of the department's priorities and those of the relevant sector departments. In this regard, the committee also draws on recommendations made by the Financial and Fiscal Commission about the role of the Social Housing Regulatory Authority in improving intersectoral coordination between the different government departments responsible for integrated human settlement. The committee has expressed its dissatisfaction with the department's reporting on delivery. For example, the department cited a figure for the number of houses completed for 2019 for the municipal year, not specifying that the figure includes both top structures completed as well as on-site services. Instead of claiming that 228,000 housing units were completed in 2019, the department should have specified that this includes 68,659 on-site services and 160,118 top structures. During provincial oversight visits, the committee noted of concern the poor quality of houses constructed. This raises a critical issue of registration of construction contractors with the National Home Builders Registration Council. Since the council is mandated to protect consumers against unscrupulous home builders, it has a critical role in ensuring that appropriate funds are used in a manner that's effective and efficient. The highlighted areas where we have to insert the data of how many houses were inspected, the roles of the end the council and how many were completed. We only, as I indicated previously, members earlier, we only managed to get the report this morning with the chair's assistance, so we will add that.
This one is going to reflect to our organization that through the report of the NHDRC, they have managed to enroll 66,000. And we are saying we have delivered 250,000. Now, if we have enrolled 66,000. What about the 127,000? It means that 127,000 is at risk and is going to cost the national fiscal at the end of the day. Because if those houses were enrolled with the NHDRC, there would be no 1.3 billion that is spent on rectification, because NHDRC was going to take responsibility of that risk, because NHDRC seems to be an insurance.
The committee is concerned about the fact that 270 million are allocated to the Eastern Cape province for the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant was redirected to other provinces, sections 26 and 27 of the Division of Revenue Equitable, since the province could not indicate that it would be able to spend funding. However, in 2006 cabinet took a decision to evoke section 100 of the Constitution. In order for an intervention team to provide support to the province, the committee would therefore like to establish how the situation could arose in 2019, given the presence of intervention support in the province. The poor quality of houses also highlighted the need for the committee to prioritize its oversight in terms of the rectification program, for which 1.3 billion has been allocated. Oversight visits conducted during 2010 also exposed during 2009 and 2010 the fact that structural problems persist despite rectification having been undertaken. Amongst other, the committee requires clarification on exactly the number of houses that will form part of the rectification program, what are the costs involved, and how many houses were rectified to date. During steady increases in the human settlement budget vote, current funding is still insufficient for providing adequate shelter for the increasing number of households living in poor housing conditions. Given the target set
for Outcome 8, as well as the MDGs in terms of an education informal settlement. This calls for greater commitment, which should find expression in funds appropriated.
I just want to go back on that sentence there. In terms of eradication, it's either in terms of the eradication of informal settlements, or we need to say in terms. Yes.
The current government priorities highlight the need. While current government priorities highlight the need for adequate funding in order to achieve sustainable human settlement, an analysis of the department's annual report for 2009 suggests the need for adequate planning towards targets and objectives in the department. Analysis of Section 32 expenditure reports also identifies the misalignment of processes and lack of proper financial planning, which resulted in the department shifting and the environment of funds within and from one program to another program. I think it should be one program to another. Although this practice is allowed by Section 43 of the Public Finance Management Act, it does, however, have a negative impact and ultimately defeat the initial purpose of the program. Of concern is the number of vacancies in the department and how
it... Sorry, I think the other one doesn't to follow this bullet, I have to follow it. We have to strongly condemn the non-compliance to the National Treasury Regulation on the issue of
the guarantee
of transferring funds without the approval of the cabinet, I mean of the executive authority. If you report the auditor general, pass that, rather than the agency without the approval of the
of concern is the number of vacancies in the department and how it impacts on the department's own targets as well as technical and project management support of some of the provinces. The committee notes of serious concern that during 2019, existing vacancies in the department impacted on its ability to track progress of priority projects, as well as ensuring compliance with national housing policies and programs, as well as national norms and standards. This issue also speaks to how it impacts on the quality of housing. The committee notes of concern that project rectification and change in design is very costly, especially when the project has been approved. Therefore, the planning stage is the critical stage to be considered to get it right from the beginning. If this approach is not taken seriously, government is left no other alternative than to compromise new project development. In 2019, the sanitation function was transferred to the Department of Human Settlements, given the fact that this is a new mandate as well as identified as an output under Outcome 8, there is a need for the committee to ensure close monitoring of processes in this regard. Further, the 2009 State of the Nation Address affirmed the right of the rural communities to access electricity and sanitation. In communities where national priority projects are implemented, it requires a substantial upgrading of existing bulk infrastructure. In practice, it remains a challenge to ensure upgrading of bulk infrastructure coincides with the implementation of a priority project. Because the priorities of sector departments administering the municipal infrastructure grant differs from those of the Department of Human Settlements. The implementation of the People's Housing Program, or PHP, is facing a critical challenge due to inadequate cooperation from provincial human settlements departments. For example, in 2019, provinces did not allocate funds for the implementation of the PHP policy framework, despite the department's engagement with all nine provinces. Further, in provinces, the Cuban professionals provide support to other programs instead of the PHP. Indications are that provinces are not prioritizing the PHP. I think she has here a bullet about something else with the Cuban professionals. The committee notes of concern reports that beneficiaries are selling their subsidized housing. In addition, this suggests non-compliance of the Housing Act of 97 as amended, since these houses are not deregistered at the lease office. Further, communities are experiencing challenges with registration of newly constructed housing. In this regard, the department should alert the lease office timelessly that a batch of deeds for registration will be due by certain time frames, which will ensure that these will be processed instead of unnecessary delays. There is inadequate consultation between the Department of Human Settlements and the Surveyor General before new housing projects are initiated to ensure that there are no disputes resulting in delays in delivery of services. The issue raises the importance of cooperation and collaboration between the department and relevant stakeholders. Recovery of funds by the Special Investigative Unit is slow. The department should indicate the number of public servants who were illegally obtained subsidies and the cost associated. Further, how much has been recovered to date and what progress made with prosecution of such individuals. Communities are not satisfied with and are rejecting VIP toilets. The committee observed the fact that Suri's The equitable share does not take into account the current rural-urban migration, which places an additional burden on provincial departments. The department's project management is inadequate and requires strengthening. The department is not taking a lead in the capacity building of emerging contractors. This calls for greater collaboration with the Department of Public Works. Funding allocated for development of human settlements should take into account challenges related to topography in certain communities where soil requires advanced technological equipment for construction. This equipment is costly. And increases the cost of construction. Funding allocation should take cognizance of these challenges in the allocation. The government has provided for the upscaling of the delivery of rental stock, and for low income and lower income segments of the community gain access to rental housing accommodation. It identifies that over the empty period, an additional 80,000 rental units should become available. However, upscaling the delivery of affordable rental housing is a national priority, delivery remains a challenge for a number of reasons. One of the impediments relates to inadequate cooperation in provinces where provincial priorities receive receive precedence over the rental stock. The Constitution provides for housing to be a concurrent function of the national and provincial spheres of government. The Housing Act, however, prescribes that provinces and municipalities are developers and implementers, while the National Department serves as policy and monitoring body. However, in some instances, the competing priorities between national and provincial departments have impacted on service delivery, hampering programs such as the PHP and the rental housing program. Further, the achievement of various outputs under Outcome 8 is a challenge given the current classification of the integrated housing and human settlement development grant. A reclassification could assist in providing the national departments with greater control and prescription over the use and application of the grant. An analysis of the department's annual report suggests a need to critically engage with the department's strategic and performance plan. This observation is supported by comments made by the AG report for 2019. In this respect, the department should ensure that its goals and activities are clear, measurable, and targets are achievable. When the targets are realistic, given available resources, knowledge, and time, this could also relate to human capacity constraints such as vacancies in the department. Findings on the budget vote. The committee was of the view that an appropriated approved budget should prioritize the national objectives. Therefore, it finds the deviation by the provincial department unacceptable. The provincial departmental strategic plans are expected to be aligned to the national department strategic plan. Having conducted public hearings with various stakeholders, the committee makes the following recommendation.
It relates to the public hearings that we conducted during our budget vote. This report also requires a report on the budget vote. Yeah, it's fine. I remember now. The template is also required to report on the budget. And we have to clarify which part is here during the budget, 2009-10 budget vote here. We have to clarify that.
The department should draft a national plan or program that will clarify unresolved issues pertaining to the transfer sanitation function and to present the plan to the committee. Clearly defined performance areas, indicators, and projected targets for a financial year should be presented to the committee before the budget vote is made in order to assist the committee in conducting its oversight function in a proper manner. The department should submit its strategic plan no less than 10 days prior to the discussion of its budget vote, in accordance with Treasury Regulation 5.21 and 5.22. Provincial and national department priorities should be aligned to the national priorities outlined in the State of the Nation Address and of Outcome 8. This is paramount and requires urgent attention. The department should honor the call by the Minister to offer the rectification program of units with structural defects. The department should draft a clear defined plan of policy and monitoring mechanism to manage a guarantee fund of 1 billion set to incentivize the private banking and housing sector. Provinces should respond to the minister's call on rectification of stock with structural defects. Conclusion 9. The shift in the Department of Human Settlement scope, as well as its expanded mandate, positions it to ensure the achievement of suitably located affordable housing and decent human settlements. This is in line with the commitment made in the 2009 State of the Nation Address. However, key challenges remain, which calls for vigorous oversight by the committee to ensure that targets are achieved and funds are utilized for the purpose appropriated. The committee identified the need to ensure the department's strategic and performance plans are drafted in a manner which will ensure targets are more explicit and measurable. Of concern is the manner in which the department conducts environments and rollovers, which may suggest inadequate planning. A further concern is impact of vacancies on the department during 2019. This would include under expenditure of funds appropriated and inability to provide support to provinces for priority projects as well as other targets. Further, inadequate cooperation between the department and provinces on various programs is impacting on service delivery. There is also a need for the department to strengthen its engagement with other sector departments. Recommendation?
I just wanted to see if we can add, because there is no good relationship from the province to the municipality. Can we also add the municipality then?
Recommendation number 10. Given the department's mandate for ensuring sustainable human settlement, it is recommended that the municipal infrastructure grant be transferred to the Department of Human Settlements for administration. This will particularly assist where bulk infrastructure is required for national priority projects. It is recommended that the integrated housing and human settlement development grant be reclassified, allowing it to be split into different schedules. A reclassification could ensure more flexibility across year application, thereby providing the National Department with greater control and prescription over the use and application of the grant. The Department should draft a clearly defined plan or policy and monitoring mechanism to manage a guarantee fund of $1 billion set to incentivize the private banking housing sector. The Department should provide a report on the exact number of housing units to be rectified, timeframes, as well as a quarterly progress report. The first report should be submitted by end of November 2010. The National Treasury should consider urgent intervention and urgent intervention fund for building of a new sewage plant in cities prioritizing Gauteng. The department should draft a national plan or program that will clarify unresolved issues pertaining to the transfer sanitation function and to present the plan to the committee by no later than end of November 2010. Given the number of challenges identified by the department in respect to the concurrent functions of housing, the department should submit a report on how such challenges could be addressed by no later than end of November 2010. The report should focus on the PHP's rental housing stock. The legislation governing the delivery of sanitation administered by the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry should department the name should change to. Should be transferred to the Department of Human Settlements to ensure proper alignment with the function. The department should alert the deeds office timelessly that a batch of deeds for registration will be due by a certain time frame, which will ensure deeds will be processed instead of delayed. National Treasury should ensure that the equitable share takes into account the current rural urban migration, which places an additional burden on provincial departments. Minister to be advised to look at the following issues. Provincial and national department priorities should be aligned to the national priorities outlined in the State of the Nation Address and of Outcome 8. Clearly defined performance areas indicating the projected targets for 2010-11 financial year should be presented to the committee before the budget vote debate in order to... presented to the committee before the budget vote debate in order to assist the committee in conducting its oversight function in a proper manner. The department should honour the call by the minister to embark on a rectification program of units on structural defects. The committee has expressed its dissatisfaction with the department's reporting on service delivery. I think it's the issue we... For example, the department cited the figure for the number of houses completed in 2019 financial year, not specifying that the figure includes both top structures completed as well as on-site services. Instead of claiming that 228,000 houses were completed in 2019, the department should have specified that this includes 68,000 on-site services as well as 160,000 60,000 top structures. The committee is concerned about the fact that 270 million allocated to the Eastern Cape province for integrated housing and human settlement development grants was redirected to other provinces. Section 26 and 27 of the Division of Revenue Equivo, since the province could not indicate that it would be able to spend funding. However, in 2006 cabinet decision sent out funding. Thank you. The cabinet took the decision, thank you, honourable member, to take that out, to go to section 100 of the constitution in order for an intervention team to provide support to the province. The committee would therefore like to establish how the situation arose in 2019, given the presence of the intervention support in the province. Oversight visits conducted during 2009 and 2010 should change. Also exposed the fact that structural problems persist despite rectification having been undertaken. Amongst others, committee requires clarity, clarification on exact either number of houses that were for part of the rectification project, what are the costs involved, and how many houses have been rectified to date. The recovery of funds by the special investigative unit is slow. The department should indicate the number of public servants who illegally obtained subsidies and the costs associated further, how much has been recovered to date, and what progress made with prosecution of such individuals. The department should submit its specific date to Parliament no less than 10 days prior to the discussion of its budget vote in accordance with Treasury Regulations 5.21 and 5.22. The department should provide a report of current unresolved litigation and give an indication of the financial implications for each case. Changes in the economic status of beneficiaries remains a critical challenge, hence the approval of subsidies takes too long and therefore affects the beneficiaries negatively.
I think that issue of the province is such a stupid number, but we have to draw the attention of the minister. Well, and I think the minister is not thinking about the existing issue. So we have to draw the attention to this. And I think the other issue on the NHS is the issue of offering the housing bank. We are going to take this here. And I think. The other thing I think we have to do, we have to have a paragraph that is acknowledging the progress that has been made by government in providing before we do all these sort of things. We have to at least assess the raises and then have none of them. We are positive. Yeah, I think we have to have that. And then lastly, I think we need to have a recommendation to Parliament. I left that for the members at least to be guided by ourselves. Not that I didn't have anything in my mind, but I said, let me give you the opportunity and then we'll see where we go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, don't share. No, I think that we should just appreciate the effort put in writing the report. And I think really it's a very good report. And they have presented a lot to address some of the issues. And I just have that one issue that you must raise is the housing cooperatives of the North Western Commons as our recommendation. I think to the minister should give a general recommendation in general terms and recommendation for the minister. And then I just tell that the point that we raised yesterday that try to reduce what should be the minister, because whatever you recommend, you recommend the entire department. The minister read one or two things that need very special attention. It is the most critical issue that by and large we have raised the department in many other meetings that were not resolved. Just to avoid again something that we have already raised the department and agreed to work on that and raising, because what you are raising the minister is something that we have faced to convince the department in terms of the administration to do. And I guess actually that's what we should raise with the ministry. And then I guess that some of the recommendation or minister advice to, some of them have already touched on them as general recommendation. I think we should reduce the number generally because they come on both sides. I think we should do that. And then one thing that I think that the report also should do possible I'm not sure how it works, generally speaking, given the fact that a lot of discussion about it. It's just somewhere we mustn't have conclusion before recommendation. I guess that we must have recommendation before conclusion. And then that's the recommendation, then turn, then your conclusion then comes in. And I think also, sir, by and large, you would also acknowledge the contribution by the staff. And somewhere we have to acknowledge the contribution by members, by staff, by every person. You acknowledge that at the end, and then before, say, that the report is considered by the House. I think that's what we should do. I think also, share what we should try to do. There's an absolutely great improvement on this one. We must be very thankful to you and the team that work out some of the issues. Will be just a question of failing here and there. That I think the staff will internal their computer to pick it up and then ensure that it works. But I guess that somewhere in our introduction, you must also indicate the base document that we are using. We shouldn't have this when a person reads and some says the fiscal, financial and fiscal commission, it can't think somewhere. I think in somewhere in our introduction, we should make mention of the base document that would be used. I think the staff should assist us to do that. Just because when you read, you must know that in the introduction, the person has captured the sum out of the overall rate. It would be instant to know that there's a budget review, there's a corner, that is the state of the nation address, there's an issue that is the fiscal commission report, annual report of department. Because therefore, a person knows exactly that these are documents that inform, that are base documents that assisted us to inform a view. In terms of recommendation, should you have a situation when a person says, but these people are making recommendations, but where did they get all these things? We shouldn't do that. I think we should engage it in such a way that the parliament, bearing in mind that you may also be setting precedence for a team, for other teams to follow you. I think the public works one to follow you to draft things in a manner that they think we should do. And then I think to me, share is really a very important one. I think the other details then can be worked out by the team, because I think the general issue share has been covered. In other areas where there are lots of repetition, I guess that the team will be able to pick them up and put them accordingly in a synchronized form. And then we said as we said, I think the team has really did it well now. That all the abbreviations anyway. I think the report is factual, and that is the point that you said. And then rearranging it is a separate issue, but I think it's a very factual report. In my view, really, I think we should consider the committee accepting the report, and then, of course, giving the team then to finalize it in terms of some of the issues, cleaning it here and there, and then I think that would be not very much an issue. I think it can show us the factual information. So I just care for the file to tighten all this documentation because to be a factual report. When a person comes to us and says, but where did you get this? Surely, you should have been a substantial one. Should be our oversight function, it should be a division of revenue, it should be an annual report in the department, because then we must back what we are saying. Otherwise, we may say something that is, I think, given the fact that show. You are in the highest organ in Asia. And then all other organs that come to you, surely this organ must absolutely be factual in everything that you are raising. That's why when we are not necessarily sure scientifically, we should give a general view rather than a specific view if you are not sure in some of the issues. There's a contested issue. Should be a general view on that. But really, we should thank you very much, and I think the team didn't sleep. The sooner they go and see, it will be far better for all of us. Yeah. But I think it's a very good job, Chair, and well done, and thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Chair. Okay, another comment?
I'm so pleased the group has done that very nice thank you, because I think the team really does deserve it, and I know it's been headed up by a chairperson. She's been cracking the whip there very big time. And you know, other than us observing on other committees as well, And I really want to say that for me, as I compare some of the other committees that I'm on, this committee has done its homework extremely well here. I just want to know, as a bit of guidance here, when you talk about recommendations to Parliament, are you talking about where Parliament actually would play a role, or just generally? Because I'm thinking, for example, as I would constantly remind us, that we make legislation here. So is there legislation that perhaps we feel needs to be looked at? And you know, what comes to my mind is this fire thing, you know, that's got these unintended consequences. And perhaps as a committee we should start to be looking at stuff. I don't know if that's the sort of thing you're talking about. Because otherwise the recommendations are all sitting there already. But if we're talking specifically to Parliament, are we thinking in terms of legislation that perhaps we should be looking at? Just a quick
one. Okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the paper, because we have worked very hard to read. It didn't crack the only the Parliament staff.
Yeah.
I even cracked the I'm even cracked the National Department itself. I was allocated a mobile office. Because I said nobody is going to speak without having this information. So they did allocated me and one of the chief directors which we can phone any time. So I was communicating with the Remis and the DFO, instructing them that ask and think, and then they will carry on with the officials. Then the officials will wait every court in South Africa to get that information. So I think that is why I'm saying other committees won't make it if they don't take this effort. Really, it costs a lot to produce this report. You can't produce for everything after hours you are going to sleep. We didn't sleep with this thing. The children of Berenice were playing in the office up to 9 the other day. So I'm trying to say, really, we have to thank the staff of Parliament. They've done a remarkable job. They were supporting me a lot. And I would say, we're not going home today. And they would just laugh and then you carry on. And then they didn't even have their lunch even today. We had the lunch. I got that food in my office. I said, nobody is going out. I'm going to have food yet. Unless you want to go to the ladies, so to the gentleman's office. So to respond from what the Honourable Man is asking, I think what we need to recommend to Parliament is the issue of legislation. But I think the first legislation we still have to think of is this Housing Act. It needs to be looked at. Yes, we know that the department has already been trying to initiate that, but they are not pulling up. So if we can recommend that Parliament must ensure that the Housing Act is ready. And then the issue of the Constitution, it goes to the Parliament. This concurrent function, we have had the DG on that basis. Sometimes, really, they are doing these things, or they can make sure that this is the government, the cabinet, but ensure that this intergovernmental relation is strengthened, because seeing it's not working, there has to be a political will to undertake that. And then on the issue of Parliament again, I was looking at Parliament in resourcing the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee, because the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee has been upgraded by the President to the top 7. So I think that recommendation is very much important for us to talk to. Honourable. Gratifying things is that
get it back filled, because the report is here, and the report is very concise, very detailed. But for me, sometimes even if it's repetition, I don't think it matters, because you usually find that actually, you know, this kind of report, you know, this official report, this government report, or the report of, I don't know, big bodies like the UN and so on, you get this kind of repetition. I suppose you emphasize the point all the time. So, even though we might have to remove some of them, but I don't think that this is something that we need to worry so much about, because we are not really. You see, the point is repeated. Like, for instance, the end, the way we are talking to the minister, we are repeating after what we have said before. But this is consistent. But what is important is that it should be consistent with what we have said earlier on. It must not change. Chairperson. You know, last week, about this committee, I'm an alternate member here. I've got my other main committee. That's why you don't see me if we have a meeting on Tuesday, because I must accept my main committee. But I come here as much as I can, because, you know, coming from typical rural areas, many of what is, much of what you say does not really apply so much to us there, because I've got my stand with the chief gave me. It is my stand. And what is there is mine. There is no question of a corporate body, you know, controlling the house. But all the same, it is important, you know, for us to know what is going on in our country. And the question of housing is a very important one. So I come here and I must say I've learned a lot. Last week, on Friday, I calculated the number of meetings I had attended of this committee alone. I'm not sure if I did not get to it in 1 week. Yes, something like that. Because we had 2 meetings each day, in the morning, in the afternoon. That, you know, by Friday last week, I could see it. Because I calculated those meetings, we had 2 each day. I think, I'm not sure about Friday, but I think I got to say something like 8. And none of them was less than 4 hours. So you can imagine. I think I would say about the same person. I said I'm a person. You can really push. And it's good. I think it's good because the result is here. So I also want to add Chairperson and congratulate you and your team and the committee as a whole for the work that has been done. Just one very small thing. Yeah, it has amazed, but somehow I suppose because I don't think I'm really. That's that very first sentence in our introduction. I wish you could remove that word "and" there. Because it says there, particularly because it is the very first line, and number one gets the impression, the first impression is far more specific. It says in 2009, the president had assented. Yeah, let's remove "had."
Okay.
The president assented. And to me, that's very impactful.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like
to
No, that is not. Thank you very much. Hey. Oh, good day. It's trouble. It's one of the key things. Yeah, because the whip. I believe somebody's been cracking whip, so I'm the whip. Don't make a mistake. Chair, actually, I just want to add to the other members. When they thank the team, I'll just talk about the team, because if you are a team, you can do everything very quick. Now, I think your staff have done a marvelous job and to help us compiling this report. The other thing I want to talk about, Chairperson, in the recommendations, I wanted to add, if I'm allowed, where it says all the RDP houses that we built by the government, can we ask the NHPRC to take a lead by registering every project? I don't know how we can put it in, but I think it will be wise that we won't spend more money in ratification. Now, I'll tell you one thing, Shakers, and when we do an oversight in the Western Cape, I thought we were going to go to places like the Crossroads, Inyanga East, and all those places. Because yesterday, I was called in a place called Osaka in Inyanga East. There is new houses that have been built there, but you cannot say it's new houses. They're full of cracks. They're unfinished. Now, that's why I feel strongly that we must have NHPRC to register this project.
Why should we put a clause that really emphasizes that there has to be a penalty? If people are not adhering, are not complying in their province, this province must receive a penalty of some sort. Because they will continue, because they know with NHPRC, they have to pay a 600 rand a unit. That is nothing. But when they calculate the loan 600 grand times 100,000 as opposed to the building, and then how many contractors are there, then there's a little short way. So I think we have to have a way of crafting something like that. That is advising, requesting the minister if you can look at what the legislation is there for that established the.
Thank you.